Time to catch up on the Molloy Drive Show. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello. Go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
You got that right, Matthew. Welcome to the big program. Hello, Dave. How are you?
G'day, Mickey. Doing right, thanks.
Here we go. Got to be a massive show today. Charlie Pickering joins us for all the fun of the fair.
See, Pick.
He'll want to talk about some inauguration gear, I reckon. Yeah. Trump, the pardons are just starting to leak in now.
He's got 12 hours left, I think, doesn't he?
Snoop Dogg's involved. Hang about. We'll cover that in our crime report.
Righto.
Which is up on blocks today. There's some Elon Musk news. Is he a supervillain?
Seems to be.
He's killing cats.
Yeah,
he's killing cats, and he wants to put a bar in the factory where he builds rockets. Is that a good idea?
No, but he's the world's richest man now too. He's
he can do what he wants.
Bezos, he's number one.
If he wants to kill your cat, he'll kill your cat.
That's it.
That's what he's up to. Hang around for that. We've got an entry into the club COVID. We've got a big issue here involving one of our staff members and the vending machine. We touched on it yesterday. We'll open up again and take your calls. On this, we're going to check in with Neroli Meadows, one of the greatest test series of all time.
When we left the show last night, I went home and watched it. It was incredible.
I was listening to it in the car on the way home.
Right.
It was like old-time radio. As the drama went down, congrats to the Indians. What a sensational win. We'll cover all that. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. A bit to get through.
Yeah.
I have to say we'll have some Australian Open news, of course, which we will get to.
It's only days away now as they still held up in their hotel quarantines.
Yeah, how are you going? How are you? What was your
going? All right. Anything? I was a bit worried you weren't going to make it on air then.
I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to embarrass the cleaners here at the stations. But let's just say, don't get between me and the toilet at 10 minutes to showtime.
Now
you'll get mowed down. It's like the running of the balls. It's a sacred time.
I know it is, mate. You're talking to me. I know exactly. It's like a little nervous wee before you start, and then they put this little big, it's not just a little sign, they put like a bar across the toilet so you can't even sort of get through it unless you just limbo under it to get into the dummy.
And then it opens up the whole handicapped toilet issue.
Tried to go in there. You couldn't get in there. That was locked.
Couldn't get in there.
So where did you end up going? Did you find a toilet?
Let's just say I'd give the corridor at the front of my office a wide berth. Do you know, have you seen this? A lot of people don't know this, when you see the pubs around town in most cities in Australia, and they've got the tiles on the outside, the tiles that go up to about your neck, they were designed for gentlemen to wee on outside the front of a public bar.
Really?
God, we live in the wrong era.
Imagine
that.
You know,
just having a pot, excuse me.
Just a minute.
You walk out onto a busy intersection.
Is that right?
And just start peeing on the tiles.
Is that outside the pub? So you just walk
on the outside of the pub, you'll see it. Now I've mentioned it to you.
You'll
walk past so many pubs and you see they go to about head high.
Yeah.
I was in the Builders Workers Pub in Fitzroy once. They had a thing around the wall at about head height, and that was for the policemen in case they knew where to aim.
kidding.
If anything got out of it.
That's amazing.
It's a great area.
Pub stories.
It's been gentrified now. I could write a book on it.
Yeah.
I want to do one of those shows, about front bars. Where I go to every front bar and talk like a river somewhere or one
of those.
But I think
you get great stories out of bars and pubs. I mean, you go to a country town, walk into a... Yeah, that's right.
Do you know what I still love? The honour system. The pubs at in the country.
Yeah.
There's nothing better and you really rise to the occasion when you go, Well, I'm going to bed now, the publican, and he puts out the tray and you just pay for what you... The honour system, James, getting here. Can we talk this through? He's embarrassed our show.
You were almost...
He's embarrassed.
You're going to sack him yesterday. You were that filthy about
it. How are you, James?
I'm glad to still be in a job. My bar still works, so that's great.
It's not a done deal, by the way. Jury's out on this one. So anyone who missed the end of our show yesterday, I related a story which was told to me. The vending machine here is on the fritz just before I came back.
That's
a real race to get it fixed in
Technicians
time.
Technicians in,
They had like a pit crew in here. There were four sets of legs.
More Red Bull, quick.
From under the vending machine. And I heard someone relayed, Rosie Walton from the station, Triple M's home, and she goes, we've heard about James. So, James, what happened was you went to get a Kit Kat.
Yes.
Don't get me started on that.
Oh, okay.
Why would you even go past the Aero bar for a Kit Kat? I don't know.
They only do the mint Aero, and I'm not a mint Aero boy.
All right. Okay. There's a quote for you.
Yeah.
There's a quote you don't hear. every day. But so you got a Kit Kat, but yep. instead of punching out one, it punched out two.
Yes.
And you had a moral quandary.
Yes, I did.
And what did you tell? Talk us through.
So, firstly, Rosie Walton, snitches get stitches. But, yeah, it dropped down and there was a moment where I felt like someone was looking behind me and I went, only take one, mate, don't take two.
So there's two and you've only paid for one. What do you do?
You take the one.
No, you don't.
You take the one.
You. What are you talking about?
Well, this is the basis of our trades-based system. I pay for one, I get one.
But someone else is going to get it for free.
It's a freebie. It's a freebie.
I was explaining this to my girlfriend because I told her about it last night and she was like, why didn't you just take the Kit Kat? And I said, it's the same as not going into Coles, picking up a carton of milk and walking out. You've got to pay for
it. No. It would be like someone saying, here, have two cartons of milk, even though you only paid for one.
Mm. I would insist that they keep that carton. I don't.
What's wrong with
you? Take a leaf out of Dave's book. What did you steal?
Oh, so Will Anderson gave me 20 for, it was the Cadbury Chocolates, was the kids' football fundraiser. And he said, look, that's right, mate. Just give them extra money to the kids because he only got $10 worth of chocolate. So I thought, well, it's an extra $10 in the till. And because I was hungry for lunch, I had no cash on me, so I ended up using that money for lunch.
So what you did was, instead of giving the kids the tip, for, as Will had suggested, you've taken
it. I might have reimbursed.
And you took the chocolates
remember.
As well.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. But, you know, it's that's
better.
That's my honest system.
That's 133353. When have you had to use the honor system? Have you used the honor system? We have this, you know, sometimes guys get ATM and it pays out too much.
Mm.
You probably want to give that back because they generally do come coming for you. The banks. I'll tell you a story. Mm. Happened to a friend of mine. My brother's girlfriend in Japan, she was on a train. She lost her favorite scarf. And when she got off, they're telling to their Japanese friends, oh, I lost my favorite scarf.
Yeah,
she goes, oh, you should report that. And she goes, why? He goes, report it to the police. You'll get that. And she goes, don't be stupid.
It's gone.
So anyway, the next day she brought it to the police. The police said, okay, we'll look into it. Hours later, come down. They had her scarf
what?
At the police station. Imagine that in Frankston or Penrith.
What a chance.
Imagine ringing up going, oh, g'day, officer. I lost my scarf on a train. Hey,
no chance.
F off, son. 133353, have you been involved in an honest system scenario? I'm fascinated to hear what you think about James.
Yeah. Call up. Wrong. We've got slabs of Brick Lane to give away to our great callers that we love. Get involved. 133353.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
You are listening to Malloy with Mick Malloy, Charlie Pickering. He's going to join us in the second hour. He's always great. He's our first hit out for 2021. Nerilee Meadows coming up, talking all things cricket, which was an incredible game last night.
What a finish. And we're talking now about James, a member of the team who brought disgrace and scorn upon the show.
Unbelievable.
By getting two Kit Kats from a vending machine when he only paid for one and leaving it there, which I'm guessing didn't last long.
Oh, man, I would have popped that in my pocket straight up.
We've all been caught with our arm up a vending machine, haven't we? I've tipped one over. it's like the rage when you can't get what you want.
Oh, it's just hanging on too. If there's a chocolate just about to drop, that's give it a little nudge, a little shake.
Why not? Yeah. We're talking about it because we're wondering about the honesty system. Does it work? Has James done the right thing or the wrong thing? Mike's on the line. Mike, what say you in regards to James' actions?
I want to know if I'm actually able to nominate him for Clown of the Week prematurely, to be totally honest with
you. Fair call. That's not how you would have approached it. What would you have done?
Mine, I would have taken it and run because that's what the next bloke's going to do anyway.
Correct, right.
Let me put it to you this way. It's going to create another dilemma. If you let the chocolate just sit there, the person thinks, oh, wow, am I stealing it from somebody else?
Good point.
So there you go.
That creates another drama. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
And there's starving kids in the world too.
If you want to share with mates, share with mates. Go give it out to somebody.
Well, that's true. Put it in your pocket and give it to knackers.
They might. Here's something for free. Okay, slab of Brick Lane coming your way,
Brick
Lane.
Sharing is caring, boys.
Bloody good beer. By now, Dan Murphy's. Well done, mate.
All right, Brendan's on the line. Brendan, what's your attitude towards the honour system?
Mickey, never use the honour system. If the thing had a spat out 10, it would have taken 10. It would have eaten them all before I got home, so the wife didn't know.
All right, so there's no grey area here for you. Has it ever happened to you?
No.
Have you ever the old five-finger discount, something that you weren't supposed to?
You know when you go for a drive out in the country and people have them stalls at their front gate with eggs
cherries
and sort of stuff?
No.
Well, you just take the stuff and you don't put any money in the basket.
Don't do that.
No, that's the honest system.
No, you've got to
pay. If something falls in your lap, okay, I'll give you one.
Yeah.
Well, this is an interesting one. It was a petrol station. It was a few years ago, and it obviously put the wrong price
On the Bowser?
On the litre.
Yeah.
Or on the...
So it was cheaper.
Thanks. So it was cheaper.
Right.
And the guy who owned the petrol station only realised something was up when there was a queue of about 100 cars...
to get the free petrol.
...to try and get the petrol that was cheap. Brendan, I won't condone the taking of stuff from country people they'd leave out the front. The with the vending machine?
Yeah.
Yeah, stick it to the man. Got you, Brendan. Chris is on the line. Chris, I told a story about a friend receiving their scarf back after losing on a train in Japan. You have a similar story?
Yeah, we were in Japan, in Tokyo last year for New Year's Eve.
Mm.
And I lost my mate New Year's, and then we rekindled it at New Year's Day. And he lost his wallet with about $800 Australian cash in it. We went away snowboarding for 2 weeks, got back to Tokyo.
Yeah.
And he went to the police station by chance, and they actually had it handed in, and it had all the cash, all his cards, everything.
That's unbelievable.
So I'm fascinated by Japan and the honesty that this community and culture have. But what's also interesting here and different from Australia is not only that it was turned in, but that wouldn't last a day in a cop station.
True.
Some of my best friends are coppers, and I'm telling you right now.
Really?
Or if you did get it back with 800, it would have originally had 1600 in it. A little for
the
police ball, and off we go. Good story. Thank you very much. Trent's on the line. Trent, you come from the Mornington Peninsula.
Oh, Dan, you're neck of the woods.
Yeah, mate, I'm on the speakerphone.
Can't hear you, mate. Please speak up into the phone.
Sorry there, guys.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm a seafarer. I catch the Frankston line into work each day.
Good Lord.
And I put my wallet and my bag on the way to work.
Mm.
Thought it was done for. Spoke to Metro, and they said they had lost and found. Went down, and there it was, been handed in, still with cash in the wallet.
How's that? It happens.
Well, I wouldn't expect that back. I'm happy to get off the Frankston line alive.
In one piece.
Sit on your helmets. Get on after Coringle.
Well done, Trent.
Watch yourself. Yes, that's good. Hey, Trent, a slab of Brick Lane coming your way,
we'll
mate.
It.
It's the draft.
Work, mate.
Derek's on the line. Derek, what was your scam, mate?
Well, I used to drink at a pub, and of course, there's an obligatory pool table, and me and the boys used to play a lot of pool, and you'd put your 40 cents in or your dollar or whatever it was to get your balls out, and occasionally the white ball didn't come out. So you'd have to open the drawer and get the white ball out and put it back on the table. So you could just open the drawer if you had to get all the balls out anyway. But everyone always put their coins in and
did the right thing.
Well,
you are a good man, Derek. Derek's getting a slab of Brick Lane too.
Well done.
Yeah, I used to work in a pub down that way in Frankston Way,
right?
And the pool tables, I have to say, caused a lot of trouble.
Did they?
Yeah,
lots of fights?
I think, well, in a public bar, it's amazing where all the trouble starts. But I saw one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
What's
that? Ever in this place. So there was a fight brewing on the pool tables.
Mm.
This is at the Pier Hotel in Frankston.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm the only barman on. I'm going, oh, no.
It's on here.
So I rang through and got the bar manager, Sean McCackie, to come through. I said, Sean, it's about to go off here. It's about to kick off.
Mm.
And he comes in, and he's a short man. He's a funny, but a great bloke.
Yeah.
And he's not, these guys are huge, and they've got pool cues. And so he comes in, and he goes, all right, fellas, I think we need to break this up. And he takes his hairpiece off and throws it in their face. Like the old Apache trick of throwing sand in the...
Look over there. Face.
So the guys were so stunned, two of them ran from the room, and the other guy is wrestled to the ground with... You know that girl who's had the octopus on her face?
That's unbelievable.
All right. Hey, just quickly, Simon's on the line to boot this up. That's a true story. So, fellas, can we come here? And then whack it. You've got to... Got a frigging hairpiece in your face.
That'd
frighten you, wouldn't it?
Oh, wouldn't it? Why?
Simon, you want to put a pin in this? What is it?
Yeah, bigger question that hasn't been asked is who did it?
Oh, my God.
Kit Kat?
Who took the Kit Kat?
Mm.
Do you know what? Is there, we've got CCTV footage. My money's on Billy Brownless.
No, he's not here. He's still on holidays, so it can't be him.
Can we get the CCTV footage and find out who's trousered
who's
the Kit
guilty?
Kat?
Good
who's
on you, mate.
Guilty?
You're listening to Malloy.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
It is Malloy. Coming up, Charlie Pickering soon. Narrowly Meadows going to talk cricket as well. And still a lot of calls coming through regarding the honour system.
Kit Kat Gate.
Kit Kat
so
Gate.
So James got two Kit Kats from the vending machine. He only paid for one.
Yeah.
In a moral quandary stroke dilemma, he's left.
What an idiot.
He's left
what? Who
Kit Kat there. Someone's trousered it. We don't know who.
No.
Roshana?
It's Roshana's our office manager.
He's joined us. Our new office manager. How long have you been here, Roshana?
Well, I started back in April, right at the start of COVID, in a different role, but I've been in this ops manager role since September.
And this is going to be the biggest thing you've dealt with so far. As
the
manager,
priority levels, I'm stressing about
it. I want you to go and I want you to find me the CCTV footage.
I will get it.
Can you get it?
100%.
We're going to sift through it. We're going to find out who trousered the Kit Kat. Jay is on, but thank you very much.
Can we go and get it?
What, when you go to the vending machine, what do you generally?
What's your thing of choice? You don't mind a V,
partial
do you?
I do like a V. In many different varieties.
Get your hands
varieties.
Off the V. Get your hands off the Red Bull. Would you, if you went there and the Kit Kat was lying there, dormant, in the bottom of the vending machine, would you take it? Oh, my God.
Of course you would. Probably. Don't even think about it.
Plead the fifth. You're the office manager.
Yeah. Please.
All right, we look forward to the footage then, Roshana.
Okay. Good luck. We'll come and report back when you have hit. Someone's going down. Someone's going down. Thanks, Roshana.
Jay's got some ideas who it might be,
too. Jay, who do you think is...
I've got a short list of potential suspects, but before I get into that list, I just want to point out that James, who was unwilling to take the free Kit Kat, is willing to stab Rosie Walton for turning him in.
He said snitches get
just
snitches.
It's a little bit of a paradox.
Good point.
Now, the lead suspect, Dan Bradley. He is the boss, Triple M Melbourne.
You're pointing your finger at Dan Bradley.
I am.
He'd woof a Kit Kat. Who else? Lawrence Mooney.
He's destroyed the evidence. Lawrence Mooney is currently doing the show out of Melbourne.
Yeah.
And Marty Sheargold.
He's new to the
business.
He's new to the station. Top in
the office.
Top stunted pull.
Yeah, interesting.
I see him more as an aero man.
Marty.
Or a Morrow. I don't know.
Who eats Morrow, by the way? No one eats those. They're always left in your favourites pack.
Mate, if I got one Morrow, I'd leave it.
That's right.
Hey, have we got a COVID 19
Club COVID,
entry? Well, it's Club COVID 21 now.
Yeah. It's still happening. Right. And there's been a new inductee. I believe it's Mr. Robbie Williams. Robbie Williams.
Matty, I thought he's busy. He must have some spare time on his hands. I'd like to go in and see him recording those.
Me too. We need to put a camera in there and watch him do it.
I bet you he'd have the headphones out, put his hand over one ear and doing
it. Studio style. Yeah. Well, he's one of Australia's premier voiceover artists, so he's in the
biz. He does a voice at the start of the show for us.
Yeah, he's the Anaconda man too. Anaconda!
Is that him?
That's Matty.
That is Matty. Yeah.
What's Anaconda?
You know, the outdoors.
Camping.
So he could get me some free gear?
What do you want? Like a
sleeping Anaconda.
You want a tent.
I want a tent? I want something to wear. Like, does the Anaconda make, big woolly socks?
Yeah, they'd have all that.
Okay. You've got to be good for a couple of pairs of those.
Okay. Well, he's the voiceover guy.
This is how radio works. It's a bit of a grift, a bit of a hello.
There's
cash-free Kit Kat, get a free tent.
Stuff it. I've seen you around the prize cabinet, Dave. You know how it works.
My garage is full of merch. Sorry about that.
It's like you're fencing goods. The cops turned up and goes, what's this rotary? Hey, Robbie Williams
is in.
Quarantining in the Caribbean after testing positive for COVID. What's your theory, Joe?
My theory is that he had COVID before he got to the Caribbean.
Oh my gosh,
I've got a COVID. I'm going to have to quarantine for 14 days. Quick, let's get on the plane.
He flew to St. Bart's. So he's on St. Bart's. As long as he doesn't go near Mystique.
What happens there, by the way?
Mate, that'd go through Mystique. The
runner?
COVID.
Really?
Crikey. It'd be a quarantine. That'd be a good place. That'd be a good place to quarantine, Mystique.
Yeah. What?
Don't you ever go near Mystique.
But
it's all...
You're very cagey about it.
That's all I'm
saying. What happened?
Hey,
just a minute, guys. Sorry, the hotline's ringing again.
Hotline's ringing?
Hang on. Hello, you've called Malloy.
Oh, I'm finally through. Can I please request James Hetfield and Hip to be the Sandman?
Mashup.
Is that you, Artem?
Yeah, it's me again.
Artem Sinek.
Number 78 in the world.
Who's number 77 or 78, Artem?
78, but soon to be... 20, let's say.
Sure. 20. What's your highest ranking? Artem Sinek, who's holed up in quarantine.
Hotel quarantine.
At the Australian Open.
At a wall.
He's bored, shitless. He doesn't know what to do. He keeps ringing up our show. What's your highest ranking ever, Artem?
32 in 2018.
Well, what happened? What happened to me?
Something went wrong there. I'm just going to blame it on everybody else. Yeah. You know, partners, coaches. It's everybody else's fault.
Distractions.
Now, you're locked down in quarantine. We're hearing all kinds of hellish stories about it. What was the highlight of your day today? What did you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I had a wonderful breakfast. I brewed my own coffee, and then I stared at my phone for a couple hours. That was fun. Yeah.
Did you watch some Friends? What's the last episode you watched?
Yeah, this is my routine. I don't even remember the episode. It's just in the background, you know. It's just the background noise, but it's something
Is it the one where Ross and Rachel are on a break? Is that the one, Adam, that you've been watching?
They're always on a break. Huh?
Yeah. Now, yesterday you told us Chandler was your favourite character. Did you know? Do you know he's only got one of his fingers isn't full?
I've heard that. Yeah, he's missing part of his finger. Yeah.
What, really? No, I haven't heard that.
He's got a missing finger. If you saw him today, you'd think he'd eaten it. He's a big guy. Now, Adam, you said to us yesterday you're a curious blend of Russian and New Zealand.
Yeah, I am.
Who do you identify as?
Oh, a Kiwi.
As a Kiwi. I'm going to put something to you. I heard this. Were you keeping bees in New Zealand?
Well,
no wonder you can handle the boredom of lockdown. You're a New Zealander who keeps bees.
That's amazing.
What are you doing keeping bees? How many bees did you have?
My really good friend Brian Lang, he has 6 hives. Constantly.
Yeah.
So he's got like around 200,000 to 300,000 bees.
Wow.
And I've been caring for them. It was great during the lockdown, you know. It's up on his roof and there's not much to do. So we're just watching the bees. He's like, oh, there's Charlotte. Oh, there's Mary.
So there is a good animal. Is it true? If you do this, Federer won a cow?
I don't remember that, no.
No, well, you're not paying attention. That's right. Obviously, no. Well, you've dropped down the rankings from 32 to 77. Did you meet, and now as a Russian, did you meet Marat Safin ever? Did you, one of the great tennis players?
Mm. Yeah, I did. I was playing Australian Open Juniors in 2002, I believe, and that's the year he made the final here. So I was kind of his hitting partner, warm-up partner for that year. So,
you didn't go out with him after dark, did you?
No, he didn't take me. I was underage. So,
I just remember that year, they kept cutting to the box, and there were like 3 strippers.
Right.
Where there's normally your parents and, you know,
friends
a couple
and
of
family.
Coaches. He had some hotties.
They were very nice ladies.
I'm sure that's true.
I spoke to them.
Right, okay.
I was in the box when he was playing Sampras.
Well, good luck to you. Thanks for ringing in. We'll have to ask the bosses if we can play that song.
Yeah.
Want to send a cheerio to anyone?
Yeah.
Any messages?
Anything you want to say?
Hey, any sponsors? Why don't you promote your sponsors? Let's do something for your sponsors at least.
Well, my clothing brand is Bidi Badu. It's a German brand, which is very, very cool. So it's not very known in Australia, so I guess people will see me wear it in the Australian Open. Right. It's
sold.
Really cool.
Yep, done.
And I just changed my rackets back to Head. So that's going to be very interesting to see how I'm going to play with that. I'm really excited about that.
Were you old enough to ever play with a wooden racket?
I played with a wooden racket for fun.
Right. Are you practicing any tennis at all around the hotel room?
I set up a court. I got a net going. Yeah,
it's all good. Because I believe in Djokovic's hotel room, he's drawn a picture of a lineswoman on the wall. He's practicing hitting balls at her throat.
Yeah, I mean anything we can do to hit some balls. Yeah.
Did you hear, just before we let you go, is it true that the men want to play not 5 sets but 3 sets because they won't be fit enough when they come out of lockdown?
I don't think that's really feasible, just based on a lot of outside factors.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think they'll just stay with 5 sets. It's just not very realistic, to be honest.
We're going
to
get a massive fan base behind you to cheer you on. What's the deepest you've ever gone into a major?
Quarterfinal Wimbledon 2018.
Quarterfinal Wimbledon.
You don't mind?
Why did you sit on that? That's awesome.
I'm gonna have to match that. We lost to the winners, Mike Bryan and Jack Sock.
Ah, well, you'll get them next time. Hey, thanks for your time
today.
Yeah, no worries. Cheers.
Adam Sitak, world's number 78, joining us there from his hotel quarantine.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
At Malloy Show, that's where you can follow us. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. All the socials, as the kids say. Charlie Pickering's going to join us soon. Mick Malloy on Malloy.
I cannot wait. Adam is becoming...
How great is he, by the way?
A regular caller. He didn't seem to know much, Jay, about Federer had a cow. He won a cow, didn't he?
I believe he did. He in 2003, Federer won his first Wimbledon title, and the next tournament he played was the Swiss Open in Gstaad, and the town of Gstaad gave him a cow, which Federer named Juliet. Oh. And Juliet then had a calf named Edelweiss. And in 2012,
okay,
Roger was asked about Juliet. It's similar to Rosie's story from yesterday. And Roger said, Juliet's no longer with us.
Oh. Yeah, it's got Wagyu written all over. How can you seem to know a bit too much about that,
yeah,
by the way.
Done your
and when you say Gstaad, do you have to say Gstaad?
Gstaad. It's one of my favorite moments in world sport is to see who would eventually become one of the greatest single athletes of all time
getting a cow
from a town.
Here you go. Here you get a green jacket or trophy. No, we're going to give you a cow.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Jay. We're going to change pace now. I want to talk about Elon Musk, who is now the richest man in the world.
Number one.
He's a nutter.
I tell you what, you see lots of Teslas around. I see lots of Teslas now. They're in the community.
Well, I don't know why, because they don't make money. He's the technology's there, but they're not.
They look all right, though. They've got all the gadgets on them. They've got little special cameras here and there.
You drive a Getz. Okay, you drive a Getz. You're not a car aficionado. Okay. And I'm not about to take a lesson on automotive engineering from you. Okay? So pipe down. Now, listen, I'm more interested in his antics on the SpaceX side. Have you heard about this? I mean, when you're the richest man in the world, you can do what you want.
Yeah.
And he is going to put a bar into his factory that makes rockets.
That's awesome.
Because he can.
Of course. That's very George Jetson, isn't it? That's real futuristic stuff.
You're putting a bar, so you've got a factory, you're making rockets that go into space, all the ideas are coming from the bar.
That's right.
Houston, we have a problem. We're out of ice.
I love it.
I mean, no way. It's all starting to make sense for you now. Remember he shot his car into space?
He did.
That's a pissed guy. That's a guy...
You're right.
Happy hour. Hey,
what I'm
going to do. Maybe this has been happening at NASA for years. That's why they were shooting monkeys into space. This sounds like Bugs Bunny stuff.
God, we got it wrong the whole time.
Did you? You'll probably get a pilot to try and break Booney's record on the, the way to the moon.
Slab of VB.
Did you know, true story, up until recently, the Air France pilots were allowed to have two glasses of red on a long-haul flight.
Is that right?
Isn't that civilized?
Wow. That's not bad.
Yeah, till one of them got glassed. And but that's a true story.
I think that's very French.
He got two as a computer flying it.
You know what? Goes wrong. You're absolutely right. The important thing is to get into the air and come down. Anything in between.
But I can't leave flying at 35,000. I don't know. My wife left me.
What sort of wine it was?
That'd be a good one.
Yeah, it would be too.
That'd be a good one. Also, Elon Musk, he's a bit of a supervillain. So now he's making rockets and he's got a bar. Here's the other one. He's killing cats.
What are you talking about?
Jamie Lynn Spears blames Elon Musk and Tesla for killing her cats because they're so silent. Right?
Yeah,
the cats
are.
Can't hear them coming. So the Tesla sneaks up on the cats. And whooshka, bing, bang, boom.
So she's lost some cats, courtesy of the
quiet. Have a listen. Here she is. Oh. I'm mentioning it.
If somebody's got to let Elon Musk know that the Tesla is a secret cat killer and it's a problem that we've really got to fix. We have now lost, I don't even want to tell you how many cats, because they don't hear the Tesla crank and things end in a very tragic way. You know, Elon Musk, let's figure this out. I mean, you owe me a couple cats.
She's got a few more. With a name like Jamie Lynn Spears, you've got to be a cat lady.
You know, that's Britney's sister. It's Britney's younger sister, Jamie Lynn. Britney Spears.
Is she a couple of cats down? Between them? How many cats does the richest man on earth have to kill?
But how's she killing more than one
because
cat?
Because the Tesla, it sneaks up. I'd love to imagine, we should get David Attenborough a Tesla so he can sneak up on animals. Mm. Wouldn't be. Imagine seeing a Tesla kill a cat in a David Attenborough documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Many people regarded it as the most costly in the history of mankind. If we act now, we can yet put it right.
Maddie.
Now, to be honest, Maddie, it wasn't exactly what I'd asked for. We had a conversation, and I think what I asked for, I thought, you know, it'd be good, like David Attenborough in the middle of a doco documentary with a Tesla sneaking up on David Attenborough. So you hear David Attenborough, here we are, on the sound getting planes, and you hear beep, beep, bang. But I got David Attenborough doing a doco win for some reason.
Many people regarded it as the most costly in the history of mankind. If we act now, we can yet put it right.
So for some reason, David Attenborough is hosting a documentary where the cat, where a Tesla appears,
yep,
kills a cat. See me in my office, man. Gold. Hey, when we come back, is it Nellie Meadows?
Right time? After this, Malloy.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Mick Malloy, and she. Well, we only spoke to her on Monday, but it's always great to catch up with Nellie Meadows.
Yeah, well, it's
on
all, it's all happening. This everything's happening in the world of sport, and she's on friggin' holidays on the Margaret River, getting
amazing,
pissed on some kind of wine tour.
How lucky.
Where are you, Nellie Meadows? Come in.
I've made my way back to Perth, but let's be honest, I'm still not really working hard. I've been to the beach this morning, a bit of a coffee, some brekkie, happy days.
Can you do me a favour?
Gone for a couple of months.
Don't go swimming in Perth. You're 50-50 chance of getting bitten by a shark. You know the rules.
The reports at the moment, definitely good that I stay in quite close to the shore, let's be honest.
All right, your natural habitat is on the beach. It's all happening in the world of sport. Yeah. The Aussie Opens are blowing up all over the joint. Mm. We're trying to keep that together. But we got you back on a special occasion to wrap up one of the great test series of all times. And I've never been so gripped from start to finish. I think India, Australia are now up there almost on a par with the Ashes. Mm. They came out here, they were underrated.
India win the most incredible test match and the most amazing series.
Outstanding performance to win a test match at the Gabba and to win a test series.
Can you talk us through what a magical, a brilliant series that was and just how good the Indian performance was?
This is honestly one of the best test series, if not the best test series, I think I've witnessed in my lifetime. From an Indian point of view, and talking to my Indian mates that I work with at the Indian Premier League, they think it's pretty much their best series win, given every bit of adversity that they were up against.
Well, let's talk us through that. We're starting with Kohli going after the first test. Is that the beginning of it?
Well, let's go back, because they've been in bubbles since August from going into the Indian Premier League in the UAE. Then they've come to Australia. So a lot of these guys have been in bubbles since August 2020. They're dealing with the, you know, COVID situation really taking hold in India and the concern for their friends and family. Mm. Then you've got Virat Kohli, their best player, their captain, missing for 3 out of 4 tests.
Yep.
They go injuries galore. They're basically playing an India A-side by the final game.
And India, and also too, coming off what is probably their lowest, is it their lowest score ever in test cricket?
Yeah, 36, all out for 36. So just an unbelievable comeback. And I think that's the thing that stands out to everyone, particularly here in Australia, is we can't even be mad at them. They've been so impressive. We're like, you know what?
They were awesome.
You are likable. We actually are happy for you now.
They were awesome. Every time we tried to get them on the back foot, they just duked it out and put in big partnership. It was largely played in the right spirit, but I think there's a bit of testy attitude in Sydney, was it?
Yeah, well, let's be honest. Tim Payne put his hand up and said, I was, behaving, not like a leader should, and I'm not proud of myself. I want to do better. This is some of the audio directed at Ravi Ashwin, who was fighting to save that Sydney test. So here's some of the audio from the stump mics at the time.
I can't wait to get you to the Gabba, Ash. I'll tell you what.
Woo-hoo. She's never done that.
Just like we want to get you to India. That'll be your last series.
Maybe. Are you a selector here as well?
The key phrase there, I can't wait to get you to the Gabba. Well, you did get them to the Gabba. And they spanked you. Talk us through the last hour yesterday.
Well, my favourite thing about that, though, is the fact that Ravi Ashwin's wife, who is quite prominent on Twitter and quite entertaining, actually tweeted in capital letters, "See you at the Gabba, mate," when they won it. I just think that's pretty awesome. Yeah. And the fact that it was Rishabh Pant out there in the middle as well, who, of course, Tim Payne had the banter with in 2018-19 about the babysitting, and he's the one spanking it around and getting them across the line. Like you say, that last hour was one of the best and most entertaining ends to a test series. I mean, we didn't know for a while there, are they going for the win? Aren't they going for the win? Prithvi Shaw, such an entertainer, having seen him quite a bit firsthand, both in IPL and test matches. He is an entertainer. He doesn't know how not to go for the win.
Australia did the right thing. They had to they had to roll the dice because they had to win, and I don't think you can blame the declaration. It was that you had to win. You couldn't play for the draw. It was and you had to give them enough to tempt them. So I think that was right. What have we learned? What have we learned? Where's Australia go from here? Are we a couple of good players short?
Look, I think it's concerning. Obviously, David Warner wasn't at his best with the groin injury, but it is a bit concerning because it's now a couple of times that we've lost unlosable test matches. So you look at the Ben Stokes situation in the Ashes. You look at, you know, the SCG, the fact that it actually did end in a draw, and the MCG earlier as well in this series. There's a few moments where you kind of go, we missed opportunities, and obviously this test was one of those. So we need to have a good hard look. Pat Cummins, again, much like India last time around, he was the real standout for Australia. So, you know, and look, the positives are we saw Cam Green come through and, you know, be pretty impressive.
Bukowski showed enough, I reckon.
Bukowski, exactly. He's just unlucky. So hopefully there's a bit of talent coming through. The scary thing is, though, Mickey, and this is what I take out of this series. I know what you're going to
say. That's their seconds, isn't it?
India are unbelievable. I think the tipping point has just happened in Indian cricket that we always knew was coming, that with the population they have and the passion that they have, they're always going to get to a point where they were going to be just better than us, and I think that that's happened because they've got even more talent that I've seen firsthand coming through that weren't part of this test series. It is scary.
Well, they didn't even play Gill in the first test, and Gill is probably the best opener I've seen on the scene in a long time. All right, we've got to go, Neroli. Thanks for your time. We don't want to trouble you. Go back to your...
I want to get back to my cab, Sav, if that's all right, Mickey.
You sound like you've had a couple. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Sound like you're wearing one of those hats with two tinnies attached to it.
How do you know? It's not even
on
the Zoom call.
All right,
Neroli Meadows, tuning in from 92.9 Triple M in Perth.
Yeah.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
With Mick Malloy, Charlie Pickering.
On Triple M. We can say it now.
Can we say
all our stations around Australia are Triple M.
Yep.
Apart from Canberra, but we're Canberra only on at night
and
there, so
Sunshine Coast
stuffed.
And Alice Springs.
We're Triple M's there, aren't we?
Well, not in Alice Springs, we're not. It's 8HA and it's B Rock in Bathurst.
I love that town.
But Alice Springs?
Alice Springs.
Never been. Would love to go.
You're an idiot.
Right.
It's under your nose. It's
I know.
Right I'm
going
to
go.
Watch football, mate.
I'd love to do a lap of Australia, even for this show, just to drop into the local DJs and say good day.
I'd rather watch footy. I mean, it was in a private chat, but I don't like going on about it.
You mean? In a PJ.
What's coming up in the next hour, buddy?
I just said it. Charlie Pickering coming up.
How about your attitude is starting to get a little wearing? What day is it? Is it Wednesday?
It's the third show,
That's your two yellow cards.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Charlie Pickering's going to join us in just a moment, Mick. And
Charlie's going to miss Jane more than anyone, I reckon, because they used to go at it together. They'd catch up on everything.
Talk about Bachelor.
The top end of town or the serious stuff and then change gears.
Yeah.
And hit the reality stage. He'll be devastated. We'll talk him through.
Yeah, he'll be okay.
I'll burp him or something. The song. Hey, Song Whisperer, is it time?
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Jay Mondo, please, fire away. Synopsis.
This is an unceasing refrain of self-imposed weariness and malaise. The protagonist's only activities appear to be negative self-reflection, excuse-making, and self-pleasure.
Oh. I think I'm turning Japanese. So I think we know what.
Yeah.
That song is all about self-pleasure. Is that fair call?
Yeah.
You're on the right track, but correct.
If you have a look, Dave, come on.
What about Divinyl?
I've got to tell my Chris Hanford story now.
Okay.
I met her once on a deck at a club called The Carousel, and she was wearing a robe. Which she'd clearly worn straight from her hotel and smoking a pipe.
Oh, amazing. Oh,
what a woman.
Everything you want in Chrissy Amphlett,
isn't
it? I've
never forgotten it.
Yeah,
and
how
standing
great.
On a deck, I went, oh, God.
That's awesome. Hey, if you do know what the song is, you call 133353. You get it right, you get a prize. Song Whisperer, this is Malloy.
This is Malloy.
And back for 2021, and we're so thrilled to have him here on the show. Last time he was here when it was, well, Kennedy Malloy, but now it's just Malloy. It's Charlie Pickering.
Just Hello. Malloy. Hello. Did you notice anything different straight off the bat, Charlie?
It definitely feels different. And, you know, I'm sure like most of your regular guests, I was given the option of not being pressured to come back. I stuck with the team. I did. And I would, I mean.
Is it like a marriage breakup? We've got to take sides. Yeah. Is it where you go, well.
Yeah, I try not to take sides.
Can I tell the people?
Can I just say, like, obviously, we've been friends for years. All of us known each other for years, and I mean, as a friend, you know, what did you do? Like, what was it?
Oh, look, it's no one thing. You know, like how those marriages break down over years and then it gets silent.
Because one person is a quasi-criminal. Yeah, I understand. I understand. But can I just say, like, I will absolutely miss Jane being here. I just enjoyed so much working with her. Great to be back with you guys. But now I can't help but feel that I'm the feminine presence in the show. Like I'm here for balance.
You're very well groomed.
Yeah,
you've got great hair, great beard.
Well, you are dunking your bicky in. Hey, it's always a pleasure to have you. I said it was great to have you live because over COVID and we've all learnt to do this thing, but there's nothing better, is there, than being in a studio and in a conversation with people face to face. So it's very good to see you again.
I feel like the Rolling Stones recording Exile on Main Street right now. We're back.
Yeah. Before we get into what you want to talk about, which is US politics, I want to congratulate you on your Christmas and your New Year's Eve show, yearly, which I was sadly at home on my own drinking heavily, but it was brilliant. And it was such a great encapsulation of the year, and you did it in a really great style. So a very classy hit out on the ABC. So well done to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Now,
some credit has to go to COVID. For giving us such a fascinating year.
Now, what's your, here we go, the dying days, the burning embers the Trump administration. What's your emotion? Talk us through it. Are you happy? Are you
sad? I mean, it's schadenfreude, isn't it? It's just pure, unadulterated schadenfreude. It's a very special feeling. Personally, I love how quickly he has been abandoned
by
everyone.
Yes.
But the crazy thing is, how did you not abandon him like 4 years ago? How did it take this long?
There should be a Nuremberg into who was complicit. Who's going to say, I was just doing what I was told?
Yeah, well, interesting, like Forbes magazine, for example, like some of the faces of the White House that we know, like the Sarah Huckabee Sanders and the Kayleigh McEnany, the press secretaries that go and speak to the press. Forbes magazine made an announcement last week that any company that hires them, any former press secretaries of the Trump administration, any company that hires them will presume to be liars and will be fully investigated by Forbes.
No kidding.
So, word has gotten out that if you worked in the White House, you will not get a job after this. But my favourite little tidbit during the week this week was because obviously the removalists came and started taking out all of his gore crap.
Yeah. Followed by an exorcism, followed by a priest and some holy water.
But people had long lenses on their cameras and they were taking photos of everything taken out of the Oval Office to try and make sure he wasn't stealing everything. And like at one point, a bust of Abraham Lincoln came out and people were going, it was like live tweeting again, it's a bust of Lincoln. Does anyone know where it is? So he is a crook. Like he's an absolute crook.
I think he's about to be proved to be a crook. He's now without the protection of being the president. There's some state, even if he pardons himself, there's some state cases. I think New York are onto him. It's going to be, he could be bankrupt and skint.
Absolutely. Mm. Although the other side of it, this is what I heard someone saying today. Yeah. He still gets a national security briefing every day. He still knows more about national security of the United States and top secrets than just about anyone in the country.
Information he could sell.
And he's got a debt at the moment of $400 million that he cannot pay because he never learned any skills. And he is considered an intelligence, an intelligence threat.
Yes.
Of course.
And so, obviously, the easiest thing for Vladimir Putin to do would be to pay off his debts and just get all the secrets from Trump.
Sure.
What I heard was the CIA, because he continues to get an intelligence briefing as a living president, they are going to, they call it salting, and they will put false intelligence into his intelligence briefings.
That's unbelievable.
So that if that pops up anywhere else on someone they're spying on, they know that it's come from
what
him.
What went wrong? Where did the wheels fall off for that great country?
Hired the worst person possible in the world to do the job.
And guys, there's some people out there who complain when we go down this track, and I really don't care because to me it's not even politics. He's a disgusting person. He's vile. He mocked a handicapped person. And I think of so many points at which you could have jumped off the Trump thing, and I go, this was a conversation I'd have all the time. Oh, he's cooked. Yeah, after the grandma, the pussy. Oh, he's cooked.
Yeah.
After Mocky had her person. Oh, that's him done.
Yeah.
He just kept coming.
Yeah.
He just kept coming and coming and coming.
And turns out it was inciting an armed coup. Turns out that was the line, and everyone said, oh, hang on,
last
week
draw
to go. This guy's rotten.
It's the moment everyone went, oh, this isn't fun anymore. Yeah. You know my favourite image of, and you know, people died, so I'm not entirely making light of it, but when the armed insurgents raided the seat of power in their own country, where they got into the Capitol building, they still stormed in between the ropes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see
that? I did.
Like, they've stormed in, they've gone over the steps of the cops, but they've got the velvet ropes out, and they're all walking through the...
Freedom! Freedom! Oh, sorry, right you are.
Hang about, young man, and we'll lighten it up. What do you got? Just tease what you've got for us in the
next break. I've got a new favourite TV show. And it's something, a lot of useful information for you, Mickey.
All right.
It's about prison.
Stick around. Charlie Pickering's with us.
This is Malloy.
And Charlie Pickering joining us in studio today.
I always ask people what they're binging on. You've brought some of the great shows to our attention over. So some of the stuff I don't know how you find. Is there anything that captured your imagination now, Charlie Pickering?
Absolutely. This one's on Netflix too. It's more accessible than most of my tastes, which are obtained illegally on the dark web.
What is he up to? How did he come across that?
So this one, it's a very successful show. There's 5 seasons of it.
Okay.
Right, and the show is Inside the World's Toughest Prisons.
Okay.
Now, I could tell you about the show, but I'm going to let the host of the show tell you about the show. He explains it all very simply right here.
Great. Can you imagine this penetrating your skin?
My name is Raphael Rowe, and I'll be spending a week locked up in this South American prison to see what life is like when every day is a fight for survival.
I've never seen anything like it in any prison anywhere in the world.
It's not my first time behind bars. I was convicted in the UK of a murder I didn't commit and sentenced to life with no parole.
Wow. Okay, where do you want to start?
Well, there's a lot going on here. I think the first obvious observation is, if you were put in prison for 12 years for a crime you didn't commit, why are you going back into prison all the time?
And a tough one at that.
Yeah, what was it? It was like, maybe it's people that, you know, they do a bit of CrossFit and they go, no, I need to do Tough Mudder. Like, I need something harder.
That's right.
It's like a getaway-style show for prisons. I'd like to see David Rain host it.
Yeah, Katrina Roundtree in a Bogota prison would be outstanding.
So he actually goes into South American prisons and tough prisons. And,
yes,
and do
absolutely
they know he's not a prisoner?
They know. Well, he's got a film crew. I think that's a giveaway. So he goes in there and he's got full access, and every episode starts, he gets strip searched every episode.
Does he?
You see his bare butt every single episode. That's what I mean. After a while you start to think, no, this is a fetish.
Yeah.
You know, this is more for you than us.
Yeah. Again, I'm imagining David Rain for some reason. Okay, this is gold.
So we go, it's very entertaining, and you get to see different prisons around the world. At one point, he goes to a prison in Norway, and I'm like, that's a lovely motel.
Oh, my
like
God.
That's just a very pleasant, they're doing, like, paper mache, decoupage.
True story, I was watching a doco, it's on the Life and Times of Monaco, and they go into the Monaco jail, and there's a menu. There's a menu, and some of the cells have a view of the ocean.
Oh, lock me up.
Yeah, and I think their blackjack tables have a $1 minimum. Like, it's pretty tough stuff in there. But so anyway, he goes to all of these prisons. Mm. The South American ones are brutal. Some of the Southeast Asian ones are tough. The toughest I saw was Lesotho. Now, Lesotho is a small landlocked country in the middle of South Africa.
Okay. Right.
So within South Africa, somewhere more oppressed than South Africa. Right. It's pretty tough. He goes into this prison and he gets put in a cell with 13 guys. Mm. And he early on puts down his bedroll and he tries to establish a bit of hierarchy.
Stamp his territory. Sure.
It doesn't go well. Have a listen. Listen closely.
Okay. I'm sleeping here.
Yeah. That's your place.
On my own.
Not your own. We're sharing the money.
No?
You have to choose one husband. Everyone has got his own husband here.
When you say husband...
Yes, we mean it.
That suggests I would be the wife.
That's a massive bombshell to drop in season five. That's big.
I've had some rough nights. But honestly, you know, I've been billing it out on occasion. There's been some Airbnbs, but that is beyond the pale.
Yeah, so he is there in a situation surrounded by they are the toughest, the scariest people I've seen ever. It's incredible. Mm. And he's confronted by them. They are exerting pressure on him to become their wife.
Yes.
And so he does the only thing.
Is there a recording process?
Yeah. No, he goes, right, I need to reestablish dominance.
Yes.
I'm going to show them how tough I can be. This will be familiar.
I spent 12 years in prison for robbery and murder I didn't do. And then they discovered. And then they just. It's true.
Now they know I've done time myself, hopefully they'll stop trying to test me.
For nothing!
So, what happens next?
Stop playing with the Lesotho crowd, really. No, stuff is not.
So what happens next, though, is a bit of a mystery.
Okay.
Mm.
Some jokes are made, some weird stuff goes down, and then there's an edit point. And the next time you see him is outside the cell.
Oh, right. Please.
The scene has passed and he's sort of explaining what really happened inside. Have a listen to this.
For a moment, I didn't know whether they were serious or not serious. And they said to me at the end that it was all a joke. So imagine if it was for real. These are guys, they're in prison. If they are being deprived of sexual interaction with females, here comes along a new guy who might have something that they want.
Yeah, so it cut, and then he's outside, and he said, it's all a joke. They told me it was a joke. Yeah. It was just a joke. Guys were just having a bit of a laugh.
And by any chance, did he happen to waddle off? I love what you bring to the table. You are a superstar. Have you got anything to plug? Are you on any shows?
The Weekly's back on air first week of February. So Wednesday nights, 8:30. Got a bunch of new correspondents on the show. I'm not going to give anything
What's
away.
What's the new night?
Wednesday night, 8:30. And very excited to be back. I'm assured that despite the passing of Trump and the establishment of a COVID vaccine, news will still be happening.
Coming.
It will keep happening.
Good on you, Charlie. Please drop by regularly.
So
we love
hanging
out with you.
You're listening to Malloy.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
And Jay, our producer, has a document in front of him which lists the pardons. I was going to say the royal pardons. It kind of is. It's kind of been like house court intrigue for the last 4 years. What do you got? Are there any surprises? Who's he pardoning?
Mm. The statement from the press secretary regarding executive grants of clemency issued on January 20, 2021, the last day Donald Trump is the president of the United States, he has issued 73 pardons and 70 sentence commutations. So the pardon is your record is wiped clean.
Yeah.
The sentence commutation is meaning you're out of jail.
Yeah, great.
So Steve Bannon, key advisor. Everybody would have heard a lot about Steve Bannon.
By the way, these aren't to right the wrongs of injustices. These are to get your rich mates, crony mates off. Steve Bannon's been charged with stealing from a charity. A Defence Force charity from diggers. And they set it up and apparently bought boats and did all the kind of things. And he's pardoning him for it. Well done.
He's been pardoned. Okay. So Steve Bannon gets a pardon. Julian Assange does not get a pardon. Dane, you mentioned Joe Exotic. Reports earlier today that his legal team had a limo waiting for him outside of prison where he was.
Tell me the good news.
No pardon for Joe Exotic.
Pardon for Joe Exotic.
Really?
The Tiger King remains behind bars.
Bitch, Carol Baskin.
However, Lil Wayne. He has been pardoned on weapons charges.
Lil Wayne's been pardoned.
Lil Wayne.
And this follows, by the way, Snoop Dogg getting clemency to one of the founders of Death Row Records, who was in prison on attempted murder charges. He's got one. This was done recently. So.
Right.
There will be people going through this list in fine detail to find out who has been pardoned.
Has he pardoned himself and his family?
Yeah.
Does not appear so.
Yes,
Anthony Lewandowski has been pardoned. Now, he was an engineer for Google on self-driving cars, accused of stealing. Well, he pled guilty to stealing some of the documents, sold them to his own startup. Right. He's been pardoned. Wow. So a whole bunch of folks in Silicon Valley happy that Anthony has
good
been
good stuff. All around, we'll follow that with keen interest. I liked his Medal of Freedom honours too, which is the highest honour you can get in America, and three golfers got it. You get the idea. That was good.
Sorry, Nick, I don't mean to interrupt you. This phone line keeps ringing. It was Artem Sitak.
It's not Artem, is it?
I don't pick it up here. Hello, you've called the Molloy Show.
Hey, it's Artem. You still haven't played my song. I mean, it's unbelievable. Two days in a row.
It's number 78. Right. Let's do it then. It's the mashup. It's Metallica. It's Huey Lewis and the News.
Thanks, guys.
The drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Molloy.
We've got to wrap up. Who's on the show tomorrow?
Well, we've got Denise Scott. She's going to join us. First time for 2021. Chaz Lichardello, also from The Chaser, will be covering what's been happening
in the next 24 hours. Day.
And let's hope that we get to the bottom of this Kit Kat gate.
We'll get to the bottom of Kit Kat gate. And Gone Wild.
Will we have room for that?
Remember Rosie brought in a clip yesterday?
He did, yeah.
About a dog.
It was a college basketball match. It was commentators. I was trying to pad
Have you got it there?
Yeah, listen. This is how it went down.
Being postponed and first half analysis. Now, I kind of want to know a little bit more about Tom Hart's dog, Larry, actually.
Well, we had to put him down a few weeks ago, Peter. Thanks for asking.
That's super awkward.
What? Mate, do your homework. You don't ask about a dead dog.
No, that's awful.
In the present tense. Tomorrow, Chaz will be on to talk us through the American Legion. I was just saying to Jay, I think I went to the very first, because we were in Washington, but I think, Jay, you and me went to the very first political protest against Donald Trump on Fifth Avenue in New York, out the front of Trump Tower. Well, it was a very white protest.
Right, okay.
One of the whitest protests I've ever had. But it would have been one of the first, Jay.
Yeah,
sandwiched in between Prada and Burberry.
Wow.
You know, it was Fifth Avenue.
Real sort of.
And he was in the building, sitting up there on his golden toilet.
Yeah, there he was, indeed.
He has a golden toilet.
Oh, does he? Oh, you made that up.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't.
Really?
Why would I make that up?
Golden toilet.
Stay tuned.
Hi, you missed today's show. Grab the podcast, catch up at Molloy Show. Back tomorrow.
Now you're all caught up on the Molloy Drive Show.